Boy, I'm so happy you all come here for our DebConf 18 Diversity Forum. We are very serious about diversity here at DebConf, and even more serious here in Taiwan. You know what? Some people tried to put us in some side room, but we're not having it. So we got all the broadcasts to every room, because diversity is so important for us this time. We're not going to be defeated by any other DebConf for diversity. So I personally invited I'm a Cat to lead off our diversity forum.
Hello, everybody. Thank you. And actually, this is kind of surprise since I thought it would be full of Taiwanese here. But I thought, so I was planning about a Chinese panel, but well, it seems the situation is different. So, but actually, but yeah, our speakers are very powerful, so they can handle it. So, and they will come in to the diversity panel. I'm Ima K. I past work with the women in FOASS since 2010, and I've been organizing several panels talking about diversity and gender gap. And this year, I have joined the Wikimedia Diversity Working Group. So I'm very glad that Jidani came to me and say that, well, if we can organize it, this panel, and yeah, we did it. And I'm also very happy that we can invite these speakers, and they have their specialties in their area. And our first speaker would be Asuka. Asuka is from he's a chief editor of Migrant Power magazine. And he is, and as our, in Taiwan, migrant workers is a very important issue. And there are hundreds of thousands of migrant workers in Taiwan. But you can very little see them in all kinds of different places. So I would like to see more of migrant workers also in the conference, in community, and in everywhere else. And also the second speaker will be Abby. Abby is from the transgender activist organization in Taiwan. And she's also a security engineer. And she will share her point of view on the difficulties and situation of transgender in the FOSS. And the third one, Johnny is one of my best friends, and she has been working with me on PyLadies Taiwan, and when we started PyLadies Taiwan, and she's now a lead in Girl in Tech. Yeah, and the fourth one, I think, and also Johnny will share us more on the gender gap issue. And the fourth one, I think many people here already know her, Rhonda. And Rhonda is working in Debian for many years, and also she's now currently working to organize a diversity team. And she will share us on the problems and the progress she's currently working on and she's facing here. And so since we have little time here, so each speaker will have 10 minutes. And yeah, I hope we still have some QA time, but I don't know. And yeah, for diversity issue, I think currently I have talked to Rhonda before this conference, and I found that we currently have a code of conduct, and we have three, but I don't see more than this. So I was thinking about if we can do something more than the code of conduct, besides a passive code of conduct, what can we do to invite more people into this community? What more projects, what things that we can do to invite more people? So, and Asuka, can you share about your point of view in the migrant workers?
Good morning, everybody. My name is Asuka Lee, and actually my occupation is very special. I'm a journalist. But I think everybody here, maybe you are engineer or hacker, but I'm the editor-in-chief and the founder of an independent media in Taiwan. And it's named Migrant Park. It's the first independent media which focus on the migrant people community. Migrant people, including migrant worker and foreign spouses. And today, I want to share everybody about my point of view about migrant people, their disadvantage in information. Because I think everybody here, we are really good in information, good in using PC, Mac, or programming, or do something. But the migrant people group, they are very weak in this kind of part. So today I want to introduce the disadvantage in information of migrant worker group. And let me introduce the migrant people status of Taiwan. The total population of migrant worker is 700,000. And every year it's increased in 20,000 to 30,000. So the total population is increasing and increasing. And I think one day the population will be over than one million people. The migrant worker, they are from four Southeast Asia countries, Vietnam, Indonesia, Philippines, and Thailand. And except Filipino people, the other migrant workers from Vietnam, Indonesia, and Thailand, they cannot speak English well. They can only say their mother language. So it's really difficult for them to communicate with local people. And migrant worker, their occupation, mainly are factory worker, fishermen, domestic caretaker, and maid. And the last two kind of occupation, domestic worker and domestic maid, it's very difficult for them to have a day off. Most of them only have one day off per month, even one day off every 2 months. So they have a very few free time themselves. And most people of them, they don't have personal computer. Most of them only have a cell phone. So they are really rely on their own cell phone, smartphone. And about the disadvantage in information, because the migrant people, migrant worker, they are really rely on their smartphone. So they can only use three kind of app, like Facebook, LINE, or KakaoTalk, or BitTalk, and other app, they don't know. So even they can't use like Microsoft Word, or Excel, or email. Because sometimes I communicate with them, maybe I will ask them, can you email something to me? They ask me, sir, what is email? They don't know. They don't know what is email. So if they want to send me some picture, always use a Facebook message or LINE. And because before I said they have really few day off, so it's really hard for them to go outside to shopping. Most of the time, they need to stay in their employer's house. So they only can do the shopping on Facebook. So they really like to buy the materials, buy the products in Facebook group or Facebook page. But Sometimes they will buy the fake product, or they will meet the internet fraud. But nobody tell them it's dangerous because they are separate from the society. And about the 电子商务,
e-commerce.
Okay, so because the population is of migrant people is more than 700,000, so some company in Taiwan, they want to develop the electronic 电子商务
e-commerce.
So some local company, they want to develop the e-commerce to migrant people, but really difficult to push because based on the language barrier and discrimination, the migrant worker, they are really hard to have a bank account in Taiwan. Because most of them cannot speak English and Chinese. So they are really hard to have a bank account. Even they go to the bank servant, it's really hard to communicate with the migrant people. So they are difficult to have an ATM or ATM card or a credit card. So most of the time they need to buy things by cash. So we know the people of the migrant worker, they can come to Taiwan is want to earn money to send back to their family in their hometown. But they have no ATM card or credit card. So if they want to remit the money, they need to bring a bunch of cash and go to the remittance center and to send back to their home. So so I think some local company they want to develop e-commerce, but until now, no local company successfully to push e-commerce to migrant worker group. And maybe some of you will think we can teach them about, we can educate them in information, but it's also difficult because the migrant workers, they have a language barrier and very few day off. And sometimes the limitation from their employer is really important. The employer limit their free day in Taiwan. And because even the people have the free times in Taiwan, they like to learn Chinese first, because if they learn Chinese, one day when they go back to their home, they can find a better job. So they are willing to learn language first. So not very interesting in information education. And even their job, their job is not stable because the caretaker, they take care about the old people, but maybe the old people will die or pass away. So if the old people pass away, the caretaker need to go home. So it's not stable of their job. And finally, if they receive the education, but like I said before, they have no personal computer to use to practice because most of them only have a mobile phone, cell phone. So it's really difficult to teach the migrant worker in information. Okay, so this is my share. Sorry for my poor English. Okay, thank you.
Thanks for Asuka to share the status of the current migrant workers in Taiwan. And I would really like to see that we can invite them into this community. And yeah, since actually they are a large part. Abby, could you please? Could Abby share us about the difficulties that have been happening on the transgender community? If somebody has still remembered, this panel was in the beginning was a transgender journal and then become a gender channel and become the diversity channel. And I'm very glad that we can cover more issues. Okay. I'm very glad that we can cover more issue here. And yeah, but I would also like to bring this issue of transgender women and their problem into discussion. And
hi, my name is Abby, and I'm a security engineer, and I previously working in blockchain industry. And I also, and for now, I work for independent security contractor. So people hire me to invest into the company, so the system to find out if they have any leaks or any, the hackers will do. And yeah, and I can say I'm a white hat. Okay, so for personally, I'm a transgender woman, which is a very small portion of this today. We have only a handful of people are transgender women today in this conference. And when we talk about gender, we always talk about what? The sex in the pants, or under the dress, or inside the body, or on the behavior? Which kind? Or in our heads? What kind? We don't know. But we do know is we humans like to categorize things, like short, tall people, handsome, ugly, and rich guy, poor guy. Because we saw different people, we know them, and our brain need to understand it, so we categorize it into different, we can say, manifestos, we say the baskets in your brains. We call it categorized. So we can simplify the thing. In other terms, we can say labeling things. But in the end, we figured out we actually, in human beings, we don't have any label because each one is unique. You are professional in coding, you are professional in security, and you are special in DevOps. And so on. So everyone is unique. We are all humans. Although maybe our audience come from all last 50 years. OK, no problem. 我知道，因为这边是我的那个。 We all say men and women have different kind of brains. But it turns out in the latest research, every brain is different. You might like taste sweet taste, sour taste, or any taste. You may look lovely, you may look stronger, or you can whatever you like. These are all decided by genes, and no two people are with the same gene. For the gender, we are all on the history, or we are on the tipping point of the history. Because this tipping point is just like the beginning of the, I can say, maybe some people will know, the Black Woman Movement in the US. Because of the history, we don't know this, we only know, or we learn from the education, we only know men and a woman. And for the other people, like maybe for ourselves, maybe let's play a simple game. How many people think I am a man? Just raise your hand. No problem, that's fine. And how many people think I'm a woman? Raise your hand, please. Thank you so much. And how many people think I am not none of you or both? That's great. And in our brain, in the traditional concept idea, man is in the box, woman in another box, and others in another box. The other box is we call non-binary. And we also call it the freaks. Okay. Why we call it freaks? Because we don't know who you are. Why you are come here? Why you are just like, you talk like a man and you're just like a woman. What the hell, what's going on with you? Let's talk about history. There's a story maybe you can remember. Once upon a time, there's a scientist said the Earth is an orbit. And he was executed before he established, which called Del Invento Universo Divento. He claimed sun is the center of our galaxy. And he also claimed that human is not the only human beings in the universe. This claim is dangerous, violating the church, the religions in the 16th century, so he turned out to be sentenced to fire to death. Okay, now we know the Earth is an orbit, and this is a common sense. But we always fall into our common sense in our area, in our thoughts, in our daily life, in our experience. And through these all things, and we see some dangerous things. We need to immediately. This is time I will show you this. I don't know if you ever see this movie. It's called it X-Men First Class. And this is the collaboration with human beings and the X-Men. They want to try to avoid a conflict between the American and Cuba. And because the X-Men use their superpower to overpower the humans' weapons, so the human becomes afraid of them and to stop it, and turn their weapons to the X-Men. And that's what, where the story begins. In the transgender world, for myself, we often seen as freaks. Although we are just humans, we get up in the morning and brush our teeth and go to work and get out of bed at night and yeah. We all want to work together, we want to live together, we want to coding together, we want to do the program together, we want to learn how to code together. But sometimes we maybe you can say be frightened from some people. So it becomes some transgender people may not quite trust humans, so they become, you may say, a little bit an enemy. But for me myself, my empathy is still there. Today I'm standing here to just let you see the transgender people is not like Spider-Man or something with special powers or whatever it is. We're just ordinary people. And that's what we will talk about humans. Human is full of curiosity. When we look at the night sky, we saw the moon and the sky. We don't know what they come from. Our ancestors once they told us, when you see the shooting star, it symbolizes the bad things will happen. But we all know this is just a star cross the atmosphere. Carl Sagan once said, "We are all born in curiosity." Why we just keep this curiosity to all things, not only for computers, Debian, and community, and we reach out to all the things we can, and we reach out to all the people we are working with. Maybe your colleague, maybe your neighbor who are a transgender person, reach out to him, to her, as questions. Don't be afraid, because when you're afraid, you cannot take a step. You will always understand. Facing the unknown, we will be afraid. That's what we humans do. So we just, because we are community, we will go and go. Go to the unknown, go to the unknown. This is what a community will do. And you can Google a lot of things about transgender online, but you maybe I am the first transgender person you ever seen in front of your eye. But I am glad I am the first one. But I encourage you to see more people, more transgender people, and more even other genders, communities around you. And that's all for my speech. Thank you all.
Thank you for thank you for sharing about the transgender issue. Actually, I've been working on bringing the transgender women's problem, the issue into the the general women's issue, try to bring it into very different situations. For example, our local feminist group and our also in where I'm working, currently working with the Wikimedia, Wiki Women. And I think it's quite, actually this is quite, not so new actually, but many people still have difficulties, since even if many of them may know about something about transgender women, but what we are actually facing, for example, when we are peeing, we are afraid of police. Even if just something that simple like go to toilet, we are in a fear of police arrest. Or for the past 2 years, I've been fighting for a right to swim. And you know, and maybe people may know that in many gym, GYM doesn't welcome transgender women. So, yeah. So I hope that we can have more understanding. And next will be, thank you. And yes, and Johnny will share us about her experience on women, on our major issue, the major issue in diversity, the gender gap, and Johnny will be sharing on this.
Okay. Hi, good morning, everyone. Yeah, so I'm very happy to be here. And today I will represent to Women Who Code Taipei lead to share with you guys about like what we've done in education, in coding education, in the school and out of school. And yeah, I think it's a very good topic today. We can, oh, sorry.
Sorry. Okay. It's better? Thank you. Yeah. So actually, I didn't know I need to use English, so my slides in Chinese, but I will share you guys in English and try my best. Okay, so have you everyone heard about Women Who Code in your city or country? Can you raise your hand? Okay, nice. And did you join any like event in Women Who Code in your country before? Okay, good. So yeah, so we are Women Who Code Taipei, and I'm Joanie, and Jane is our city director. And Women Who Code Taipei actually is come from 2016, and we established in Taipei, and now we try to encourage more female to step into the coding area. And now we have over 800 people, 800 female or male joining our event before. And actually, we use different ways to encourage female to start coding. And one of our, we like the offline like meeting, so not just online. And we host a different like topic of event. So first one is like we use the like workshop or study group, and we host in one of the American like called BNY Mellon Bank, and we cooperate with them to use their office. And that we can study a book to help like different like change their career path to technology field. So we can tell them how to prepare the interview. And also we have some engineer in that area and can share with us how to prepare your interview. And the second one is, we are very happy that this year we are the code.org partner, international partner in Taiwan. So that we can do more to the younger age people to start coding. Yeah. So we have already did lots of like hour of code, and I think lots of people probably have ever tried, or your kids have ever tried to writing code in on the website called code.org. So they provide a bunch of different materials to teach kids how to code and use the Blockly based programming languages to help kids to understand the logic of coding. And yeah, so we go into the schools, and our volunteers, they also spend their time, including me. We go into like a Xinbei elementary school and teach the teacher how to teach coding in the class. And we also cooperate with some, not only the tech company, we also cooperate with them to tell them, probably their employees, they really want to start coding or know more about what the engineer is doing. So we cooperate with them to teach them the art of code. So not for the children, we also teach the adult. And we also go into like Dell Taiwan. So you can see like the picture we show is all about the female. So it's really interesting that the parents, they usually want to know more about coding nowadays. And because next year in Taiwan, we also will start our first year, first year to include the computer science as a main subject in junior high school and senior high school. So that's the reason why more and more people, they care about this topic issue in today. Yeah. And the second thing I want to share is because I was an engineer before, but 2 years ago, I decided to change my career path to education. So I just combined the technology background and the education passion, and now going to the schools. So we just discovered if you want to encourage more people start coding, the best way is you teach the kids. Yeah, if the kids can touch the technology or coding earlier, which means when they decided to like choose their major or choose their job, they can have more like imagination. So yeah, so 2 years ago when I first decided to go to the education area, I searched for like different like position in Taiwan, and finally I decided to just apply for a job in the school. So I went to Yilan. Yeah, Yilan is the north of Taiwan. I went to Yilan, Jiaoxi, and become their computer teacher. And this year, I just graduated with the students. Yeah, so I went there just like a normal class. Every week, I spend a whole day and teach over 100 students. They are eighth grades, and now it's ninth grade. So I teach 2 years there, and just practice or gain my experience in the school. And I also realized that the kids in the school, expect them to become a very professional like coder or programmer. You just need to give them the different like technology to help them to gain some imagination. And so we did different like topic, like we teach them a basic of HTML and CSS, and we also teach them like how to, if you want to resolve a big problem, what's the first step? So probably you need to learn how to create a mind map. Yeah, and we also try to cooperate with, we also bring some outsource to some resource to like Google Cardboard. We got over 200 cardboard, and we just make the students to try to make them. And the interesting is you can try a different way to teach the kids. So like a Google Cardboard, I didn't tell them how to do that step by step. Instead, we asked them to search on the internet, to probably search on the YouTube, to watch the video and then try to make their own one. And we also teach them the Python. So you can see, because we don't have much time, in Taiwan we only have, like, in junior high, every week the students only have 45 minutes in computer science, computer class. So we didn't have much time. So that's why we just, teach them based on the projects. Yep. So the consequence is there is one student, he made an ape by using like Ape Inventor and then tried to make an ape to teach the grandma in Kaohsiung how to use the mobile phone. Yeah. So the most important thing is I also discovered that in this age, the girls usually learn well than the male. Yeah, probably it's because girls are more concentrated on the class. And we also have the club class. So we use like teach them the Arduino. Club class is led by another volunteer and make the cars, the wheel cars, and every kids in the class are learning very happy. Yeah, we also have the different like projects in the school. And so what I really want to share is first thing is we probably based on Taipei, based in Taipei, but we worked very hard to make more people to start knowing what we are doing and trying to reduce the barriers. So people probably will feel, wow, coding is very difficult. But actually, when we try to use the very simple way, like out of code, we can tell them, hey, it's not difficult. It's very easy. You can start it. Yeah. So this year, I think we try to work out of Taipei and like Hsinchu, Yilan, and we want to, encourage more people out of Taipei, not only, in Taipei. And we also have a pair programming. The pair programming is like one-on-one, and you can just code by different, you can have a one mentor to help you. And yeah, so this one is our planning this year. We want to have a local coding club, but now we are really need like a sponsorship and volunteers can help us to start a local coding club. Yeah. So if anyone in here, you have any resource or you have time, can support us. So feel free to contact me. Yeah. So we also have to cooperate with like bookstore in Taiwan to bring like because I think reading ability is very important on coding. So that's why I just use this one. Yeah, just host this event. Yeah. So because I don't have many time, so probably later we can interact more. Okay. So thank you everyone.
Hello. Thank you, Johnny. Hello. Wait. Hello. Hey. Thank you, Johnny, for sharing us. And actually, yes, it's very important to reduce the gender gap. It's very important from education. And yes, and sorry. And I hope that we still have 5 more minutes. So, yeah, Johnny and it's not Johnny there. Rhonda.
Okay. Thanks for being here and for having me on the panel. My name is Rhonda. My pronouns are she. And I'm with the DVM project since 2000 or even longer, but official DVM developer since 2000. By 2004 and about, I realized that I'm trans, and that was also about the time when the DVM Women project was founded. And the reason for the DVM Women project was to encourage more women to participate within DVM, to increase the visibility of the women we already have in DVM, and to provide mentoring and also role models. There were two conferences held, one in Barcelona and one in Bucharest, where all the speaker there were done by people who identify female. And yeah, the Debian Women project is still around. Then there's the second point. Within the DebConf, we have this diversity bursary, which was going around as an idea during DebConf Heidelberg, or maybe even a bit before. For 2016, it was sort of a separate effort where people could roll up for diversity reasons and to increase the diversity of the people participating in the DebConf. Since last year, it is an integrated part in the bursary process. So when you register for the conference, you have this special field where you can fill in diversity criteria, which sort of allows you to get funding, travel sponsorship, food sponsorship, for the different diversity criteria, which includes, amongst others, gender identity, people from underrepresented countries, racial minorities, or even age. And 2 years ago in Cape Town, I was personally addressed by some people at the conference that it might be time to find a specific diversity chapter within Debian. We had one IRC session so far, but we have a dedicated IRC channel where we hang out and chat with each other and exchange different things that we stumble upon. We had two sessions last year at the DebConf, where we talked about in what direction we might want to go with the team and how we might want to represent it. And there were some difficulties in my personal life which sort of didn't allow me to pursue it during the last year very much, but I really want to have this diversity team founded. We will have another session this week. Look, I'm not exactly sure. I think it's on Tuesday, but look it up in the schedule, you will find it. The idea behind the diversity team is to increase visibility and within the Debian community, because we actually are quite diverse already, but it might not look like that on the outside. We have people from different ethnic minorities, racial minorities, different age groups, different gender identities, or sexual minorities, whatever, and it might not look like that on the outside, so we really should work on creating visibility to make it not just being part of the code of conduct, but also having it really visible and spread the word to the outside that we are very welcoming. Thanks.
Thanks, and I wish we can have some QA, but I suppose our time is up, so is this okay? I think the Mr. Tang is waiting there. Okay, and if one or two questions, any one or two questions? And also, I have a question for each one of you. So, I'm very admire of what Rhonda has done in the past in the Debian community. But I still can see the gap between the gender gap and also other communities gap. So, a short question in 1 minute or even 30 seconds. Be sure, okay. So, what do you think we should do besides the code of conduct to see more different faces? For example, to see more women here, to see more transgender, to see more, for example, the different language people, different language. What do you think? What should we do in addition to call of conduct, and who won first?
I recently read up about this paper from a German language linguist, and he spoke about why we need politically correct language to reduce, to equal out the levels of people participating in communication, because they're much more downgrading words for minorities than for the majority, so to say, and to have an equal level of communication between people, we really should work on the language level to weed out these terms that, even if they're sexist, racist, ableist, there are so many different discrimination levels going on, and we have to raise the awareness what we do with language and how it affects other people.
Thank you. I will interpret this as we need to have more clear plans, and yeah. And
okay, so I think from my experiences, the face-to-face interaction is the most powerful things. Like today, I'm standing here, I can see everyone in this room, right? So I think if you want to change, or you want to, you know, like the gender issue, you want to change the gender issue, you want to improve it, the face-to-face interaction is the most important. Because people, you know, you talk to the people and you get some feedback from the people, and if you have a discussion, which means you have a chance, you have an opportunity, can change the people's mind. Yeah.
Face-to-face is very important. I see that many people are not watching her. Just kidding. Okay, Abby, and which steps should we be taken to get more people?
Actually, I think there are only two requirements we need to take, two actions we need to take. One is we must have empathy to everyone, because everyone is all of us. And the second is, don't think you know everything. Because when you know more, you will know you know less. I don't know if you get it. You know more and you will know you know less. If you know more, so you know that many more, many, many things you don't know. And they are the two key points I want to take out. And I hope you just keep in mind empathy and you don't know anything. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for everybody's share. And just some advertisement. And Yongda is organizing a diversity team. And we do really need more voices, more, especially from different people. So please come join us. And yeah, we'll have a more thorough discussion on our progress and what we can do here. Thank you.